Pardon. I have a question about Parayati. There's a lot of suttas that talk about, say, for example, other realms, such as hell realms, the Brahma Viharas, the Aripa, the Brahma realms, and so on, the Deva realms, things that we don't experience at this moment. But is knowing about such things like the fact that very strong akusala karma could then lead one to rebirth in a hell realm, is that Parayati, parapariyati, or we should just ignore those sort of things?
What about if we don't think about place at all? Whether it is hell or Deva or Brahma, because seeing sees, and seeing cannot be Rupa Brahma or Rupa Brahma, but seeing is that which arises by conditions like the eye, base, and also one karma which can condition even a moment of seeing, no matter where. At that moment of understanding or developing the understanding of that which is not self, it's the moment of just a reality experiencing whatever appears. At that moment, no idea about place, whether it's hell or heaven, no idea at all. By then, there can be the understanding of no self, no one, no place.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter whether it arises in Rupa Brahma world or Deva world, in the world or hell.
True.
But since in this world, conventional world, but we don't talk about the absolute world of seeing, just conventional world, where are we? So where is seeing right now in this world? But seeing can be in other world.
What I'm trying to get at, like obviously what you say is very important and quite true in the heart of the teaching. However, I've met Buddhists who would say because there's only the present moment or that because we only see the human realm, they would say things like hell realms and Deva realms is just something we shouldn't even, it's not even really part of Buddhism because it's not something that can be known whether it's true or not directly right
do
now.
Do you know before you come into this world?
No.
See, how do you know that there is only human being world?
No.
What about the world before coming to this world?
Right. But would you say then that it is Parayati to know that there was a world before, that there is a world after, but that is sort
there
of a background.
There must be seen no matter on this world or the other star world or whatever.
Yes.
We don't know. As long as there are conditions for seeing to arise,
right.
It arises, that's all. Right. But since there is not just one world, this world, even the human being worlds, there are four human being worlds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another question.
Yeah.
I can't understand the four human worlds.
Before coming to this world, you didn't have the idea about this world at all.
Right.
So after this world, when you were born somewhere.
The Deva realm or wherever. Yeah.
Yeah, you think about only that world, not the other world.
But I think Robert's question is not should we think about these other realms, but we may find ourselves reading about it or someone may be speaking about it. So I think his question is, if someone else is talking about that, are we to regard it, right, as...
What about talking about Kuwait and Japan and Thailand? Japan, seeing in Thailand.
Right, it's the same everywhere.
Seeing is just seeing.
Yes.
So, no matter we think about Kuwait or Thailand or Japan.
But just what I'm trying to get at, Arjun, is having a sort of a Buddhist worldview, the Buddhist worldview that we know from the suttas and the commentaries, that there are previous lives, there are future lives.
Mm-hmm.
Even though some Buddhists say this is not Buddhism because it's not about right now, it's only speculation about the future. Whereas I would say that knowing the whole Buddhist worldview, that there is a life before that we don't know about, there will be a future life that we don't know about, future seeing, is also part of
understanding.
What about yesterday's speculation about today?
It's the same. Yeah, it goes on and on.
Like, how do you know that there will be seeing today?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's very true.
But all depends on condition.
Yes.
As long as there still are conditions for reality to arise, it has to arise. Right. No one can stop it from arising at all.
So whether it's past, present or future, right, understanding that there are always conditions is, to my mind, still pariyati.
And when we talk about the understanding of the past, present, future, it has to be right now.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's only the idea about what is past and what is future and what is present.
Could you explain that one? What do you mean?
For example, talking about understanding whatever appears now, it's not just one moment, right? At this moment, who knows whether there is right awareness of just a reality. At that moment, no idea of the arising and falling away, the first jhana.
This moment.
The first jhana is the moment of penetration, the nature, the true nature of reality as not self, as not world, as not anything at all. Only if it's the object which is the nama, mental reality, at that moment, who can imagine that there's nothing at all in darkness, only that which experiences. That's why Buddha could talk about just one reality at a time of its true nature. For example, seeing is not visible object. Now, that which arises and see, but the seeing itself is in darkness.
Slight regression. So the visible object is light, but the actual seeing consciousness is dark.
Right. Completely.
It doesn't appear that way because it seems we're seeing all the time, but that's because of the continuity and the rapid arising and passing.
And when Panya is there, it understands that the world is not like the world before. Moment of understanding that which is now arising and experiencing nothing. Only moment when it arises, there must be the object which now appears because of its arising.
Right. Yeah, that's very wonderful, thank you.
Because you see that when it's not the moment of understanding the nature of reality as that which experiences, there is only attention to the object which is experienced from birth up to now. People and things and whatever, sound and story and so on, not understanding that which is experiencing all the time, from moment to moment.
He's never understanding.
Otherwise the world... this world cannot appear like this.
Well, when you say this, you mean there's never understanding of citta?
Certainly.
But there's just interest in the object, the concept, right, or the reality, not the citta that experiences.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like now. No talking about citta cetasika, but talking about that which citta experienced.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of attending to the sensed or object, but no attending to the experiencing of that object.
It's very true to me, certainly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why is that? Why is that when it's so important?
Not understanding enough to understand that at moment of seeing, there is no one, only a reality, an element, which arises to see, to experience that all. It means a lot. That which arises and experience, no shape, no form, nothing at all, but it's there.
Is there a sort of assumption that it's I seeing all the time, but there's not a attention to the fact that this is just a element that must be there that's experiencing?
There will be more understanding about nothing except that which can experience, and it is experiencing right now.
You mean that becomes more of an interest? So to speak.
To learn to getting close, to have less clinging. Otherwise, no way to understand, because there's always the idea, I see, I hear, I'm thinking. That's why the five khandhas are object of clinging, all of them. For the rupa, whenever it appears, ignorance is there, not understanding arising in falling away of both that which experiences and that which is experienced. So the idea of something is seen and something see, or I see, from birth to death. But by hearing that now seeing is not that which is seen, it begins to understand the reality, that characteristic which can see, which is now see.
The understanding, more like understanding that it's a process that's happening, a series, or is it more just a momentary
thing? No idea about that. Mm-hmm. Only beginning to understand the truth, whether it's that which can experience or which is now sees. There must be, for sure, because that which is seen cannot see. But even if seen, no understanding enough of the arising and falling away so very rapidly of even that which is seen. Right now. That's why it needs more and more considering of the teachings, whether it's true at any time, even right now. No expectation to experience, but developing more understanding. One moment of citta is beyond any expectation, because what is there? It's not the amount of any rupa, but all experiences, cetasika, from moment to moment are accumulated, on and on and on and on. So if there is no understanding of the, accumulation, naturally, how can there be the understanding of that which now appears that is conditioned to be such and such? No control. We learn about citta and cetasikas. It seems like we know a lot, but not the moment when citta is now arising, performing its function. That's why by understanding the teachings, one get closer to see the Buddha's virtues.
Ajahn, would things like rupa seem roughly apparent in the conventional sense, and mm-hmm. feeling is kind of apparent in the conventional sense, and cittasikas like lopa are apparent, or dosa are apparent in the conventional sense too. But citta is like it's invisible. It's just something. It's like water or something. It doesn't have a taste. It doesn't have a flavor.
Or cetasikas are invisible too.
Well, dosa isn't so invisible. It seems to appear, doesn't it? In the sense.
But it appears as what?
As self.
Just its characteristic.
Yes.
Not no one.
No.
But right understanding is not there.
Yes.
So I all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they are clinging upadana of all five khandhas. Who does not cling to the rupa, which is seen, heard, smelled?
Oh, so much cling.
So much. Why? Because that is feeling as soon as that object appears.
Mm.
And keep feeling is then the object of clinging again.
Mm.
Not just the object which is experienced, but also feeling is object of clinging. So memory is there too. If there is no sanya, who's there? Who's here? What is this?
Mm.
See? And that is sanya. One clings to sanya as well. Whether I remember, sanya is me. I cannot remember. I can remember. But actually, sanya does not belong to anyone. No matter who knows, it's now arise and remembers and marks arising and falling away with citta. That's why there are five khandhas. The rupa khandha appears in the rupa world. So whenever there is feeling, it's so very important just strive for the happy feeling. And sanya too. If there is no sanya, how can be the sankhara khanda, thinking of this and that? The world keeps on going because of the rupa khanda, vedana khanda and sanya khanda, which condition the new thing all the time by memory and feeling. And the most, the faculty of all this is the citta, which arises through experience. Otherwise, the jetasika cannot arise to perform their functions.
But it doesn't seem apparent that citta is there, whereas feeling or rupa or sanya seem a bit apparent, but citta is like it's in the background almost. But it's, we know it's there, but it's not so obvious.
Yeah, at this moment, there is sanya for sure. Mm-hmm. Apparent?
Sure.
Or not?
Sorry?
Apparent.
Oh, is sanya apparent? No, not so apparent.
Citta, apparent?
No.
Feeling?
Yes.
Indifferent feeling?
Yes.
Indifferent feeling. Together with seeing?
Yeah.
No. Because at moment of their seeing, there's no...
Oh, these are the pleasant or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so indifferent. Everything is hidden.
Ah, I see.
And only panya can open it. Little by little, to see or to understand the truth.
I see what you mean. What I'm saying though is sometimes feeling is very apparent.
Yes, but not feeling, it's I.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. But is citta ever
because
apparent?
It looks sense? Apparent, that's why it is upadana of feeling. And sanya remembers such feeling as my sorrow. My happiness, see, because of sanya, remembers.
And what's
without
more,
sanya, feeling is not important.
Right, because of sanya, we want more the pleasant feeling that is remembered. Yeah.
So the, all the five khandhas are object of clinging, upadana. That's why there are how many kinds of upadana? Kama upadana, clinging to the sensuous object. And Tittu Patana and Attava Silapatu Patana, wrong practice, and Attavatu Patana, the clinging to self, the idea of self. So the two jetasikas, attachment and wrong understanding. So the upadana comprises two kinds of jetasika, attachment and wrong understanding.
So when you say that the citta is not appearance, what do you mean? Like, when you say...
The citta and jetasikas together, are they apparent?
But like... Because they arrive
what
together.
What is apparent is the object which is experienced in a day. No thinking, even thinking, no thinking about citta and jetasika, that which can experience at all, and that which is now experiencing. See?
But we think all the time, I know, I like.
So the I.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the citta is taken to be the I.
The characteristic of citta does not appear as that which just experience. Even seeing, the idea is seeing, that's all. No understanding. When there is no understanding, it means that there is ignorance for sure. And who sees, I see, and that is clinging.
So that means the citta appears, but it appears as I, right?
Actually, I think that it does not appear at all. It's there, but it does not appear.
It's the idea of I see.
If it appears, can there be the idea of I? Because it characteristic can appear only to Panya. It's like in darkness, who knows when is citta arising, experiencing. Even the object is seen, sound is heard, but no idea about that which experiences.
So you mean sound does appear, but hearing doesn't seem to appear?
It arises, it performs its function, and what appears is sound and the idea about sound. But from birth to death, without citta cittasikas, nothing can appear. But no attention to that which experiences. So how can there be the idea that it appears? It does not appear. But what appears is the object which it experienced. Now, all the time, citta experiences uncountable moment. So it does not appear. Or let the object appear. So when there is pain and one thinks that one knows pain, but actually my pain fulfilling. When pain appears, it must be the moment of understanding pain. So we can say that pain appears as pain, not I, not my, at all. At this moment, the feeling, not I, or I feel. If it's pain, is it just pain, no self, no one in it? Or, I feel pain. So pain does not appear as pain. Not a reality, but it appears as my feeling or my pain. So can one say that pain appears as pain? Otherwise, no need to develop any understanding. If it appears as no self. Because usually, after a moment of anything appears, there must be conditions for ignorance and attachment. And by the teachings of the Buddha, one understands what is meant by asava. Before the rupa, which is experienced, fall away, is there. Unknowingly. That's why another word for arahata is kinasava, the one who extinguished asava. And who knows this moment? Akusala, attachment, can arise with ignorance. Who knows? But right understanding see the difference between moment with awareness and moment without awareness of the object which appears. And that is the way to have more and more moments of kusala awareness instead of ignorance. So without understanding the characteristic of right awareness and conditions for its arising, it's impossible to have right understanding developed to the degree that it can erect from whirling people to the arahata, no asva anymore. That's why we can understand the different group of akusala as asva, how many cetasikas can be asva, how many cetasikas can be nivarana, how many cetasikas for sanyojana. Yeah. Like now, what? See, come to this moment, what? Otherwise, it sounds like the leader's thinking about the number and the word. About... numbers and characteristics of that which is hidden, only Panya can begin to open, to dig it up, to see it clearly.
So you just mentioned about asava and niravana, nivarana.
Nivarana.
Yes. So they are all akusala chitasikas. Akusala,
yeah.
But in different degrees.
Different groups
of
different
classifications.
Yeah. For example, there are 4 asava, but 5 nivarana, different chitasikas. Some are the same. Pardon? Not all different. Like kamasava is what kind of nivarana?
So, graha.
Kamaraha.
And when it's nivarana, it's when it's more apparent in life. It's the one that we're more familiar with. But when it's kamasava, it's the very subtle one, like after a moment of seeing, so subtle, totally unknown. And the same with the other asavas, like ditasava and nijasava.
Is there any reason that for the practice of samatha, they use the word of nivarana instead of any other classifications?
Which hinders the kusala moment. Nivarana is a kusala chetasika.
Pasana?
Pardon?
The nivarana.
Nivarana.
Hinder vipassana.
No.
But they hinder samatha.
Mm-hmm.
But vipassana is also kusala.
Pardon?
Vipassana is kusala also.
Yes.
So why don't they hinder vipassana also?
Otherwise, right understanding cannot arise.
Cannot
at
arise.
All.
And because they have to be known when they arise in vipassana. Otherwise, they can't be eradicated if they're not known when they arise.
So, like liking the water now, or liking the coconut trees outside now, that would be called like nivarana.
Do you know that moment of liking?
Not precisely.
When it's known, it's nivarana. But when it's not known, it's asava.
Ah, okay.
Maybe it's misunderstood. Maybe we think it's nivarana and it's asava, or vice versa, right?
For example, this moment of seeing.
Yes.
How many jitters experience the rupa which is seen? See, not just the vipaka which sees. Sampatichana vipaka, santirana vipaka, vodhapanakriya. Then kusala, akusala, the condition before the rupa falls away. Who knows that? And that is asava, the hidden, the unknown, intoxicant.
I thought it was more like it's latent, but it's not even arising in the process, but it's there.
It arises. Anusya does not arise.
Oh, this is...
Asava arises.
I was thinking of anusya,
yeah.
I see. It's
the, anusya.
I see.
The anusya condition, the asava, so it's the most subtle kinds of attachment conditioned by anusya.
I misunderstood that then. I must say, I always thought anusya and asava were basically synonymous, but they're not.
No.
Okay.
7 anusya for asava.
Okay.
Sometimes in suttas like that Majjhima 117, and they talk about understanding with asavas and without asavas, and then with asavas it's referring to when anusya is not yet eradicated. So sometimes there is the implication about anusyas, even though it's talking about asavas, so maybe that's also why.
But anusya does not arise.
Right, they just condition.
So different classification like asava and nivarna and oka and yoka. So
that's why we have to understand each word, like how many asava are there. See, what are asava? Is oka, is yoka.
But the
same, but different functions.
Different functions. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, if there's just attachment and clinging that are unknown, like that arise after the seeing, for example, we would not call it oka or.
Yes, it's oka.
It's oka.
Because oka is like the ocean of ignorance and of attachment to sensuous object and wrong understanding. That's why we have to know what jetasikas are: asava, kamasava, tittasava, pavasava, avichasava. Avichasava is the condition, kamasava and pavasava and tittasava.
So when you mentioned the function, different functions, can you say more about the function?
Because as it arises, it's like oka. One is drawn.
And also it yokes it.
Yeah.
To ask a little more about why satipatthana, not anyapatthana. It wasn't quite clear, is that right?
That day I asked about that, why is satipatthana but not panyapatthana, or you said not vassapatthana?
Yeah, it's in Tipitaka. If there is more understanding about the difference between sati and panya, one knows that panya cannot develop without sati. Among all the wholesome jetasikas, what is the characteristic of sati and what is the conditions for right sati, right awareness to arise? Without panya, nothing can condition sammasati at all. So what is sammasati? There must be the understanding of sammasati so that one understands the difference between why not the other jetasikas patana only sati. When there is the understanding of the characteristic of sati, at moment of dana, it's sati which perform the function, be aware of giving. Otherwise, all the time, there must be akusala, no moment of being aware, of thinking about giving in the day. Or at the moment of giving, there must be sati. Not you, not anyone at all. Only sati at that moment. Not forget to give. But no understanding. Siddhi cannot understand. It just can arise and be aware of wholesome moments of giving or sila or whatever. If pasa is patana, pasa arises with each jetasika, with each citta. So can there be pasa patana because it arises all the time? There are many levels of panya, and when there's the understanding of the different stages of panya, one knows that sati is also have many stages too. For example, at this moment of hearing Dhamma and understanding, there is sati, otherwise there cannot be the understanding at that moment. But at level of intellectual understanding, understanding the difference between intellectual sati and samma sati, satipatthana. Because now we talk about seeing not self, there can be right understanding a little bit about moment of seeing right now, its condition, it sees. But the actual seeing which arises and see is not directly experienced. So as long as it's not directly experienced, can there be a moment of illumination, of being attached to it as I? Because it's only idea about sati and seeing. But it's not the actual moment of being aware directly of that which is now sees. So at this moment of hearing about seeing, right understanding can see what level of understanding it is, whether it is sammasati or not sammasati yet. Seeing arises as false way, talking about seeing, and seeing is there now. But is there awareness? Right awareness of seeing or no? Only panya can tell, because panya knows everything. Truly. When it's not direct awareness, panya knows it. It's not. Otherwise not panya.
The meaning of patana is foundation?
Object of satipatthana. Because there are three meanings of satipatthana. The object of satipatthana is also satipatthana. And sati, which is directly aware of the object, is satipatthana, not other level of sati. And it is sati which Buddha and his disciples follow or develop. Direct awareness. Otherwise there will never be the understanding directly of what arises and falling away now.
But the word patana alone means foundation, or what is,
which is
can you say more?
Of the experience. Yeah.
Foundation in the sense, well, in the Visuddhimagga it talks about dhammas being the field of panya. So there can be different terms used. Field here also means object. The place of, you know, a bit like gochara, I think. So it just means foundation, not in the sense that that which lies underneath, but that which is the, yeah, object.
But it has to be right object and right understanding. Otherwise it cannot be foundation of panya.
How about, have you spoken about nimittas recently?
Yeah, yeah.
The nimitta of the present moment.
Yeah.
This is always a little bit difficult.
Because now intellectual understanding is impossible to directly experience one moment of citta arising and fall away. So at this moment, cittas arise and fall away. What is left is the sign of the experiencing of object. So the appearance of whatever is experienced, like form and shape, people, thing, bottle, table, only the appearance, the sign of the rupa, which the experiences until it appears as a thing, nimitta. That's why there is always rupa nimitta, not just one particle of rupa. So what appears now is nimitta of the arising and falling away of what is seen. Through Antheta ways, exactly the same, like heart here, not only a particle of a unit of hardness, but many units. That's why for the second Vipassanayana, the Sammasanayana, the object, which is the four primary rupas, depending on whatever, appears with space in between. Kalapa.
Space between the kalapas, like the reality shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
That seems amazing to me.
So amazing. But since it's true, it can be object of right understanding, only
makes
that
sense.
Degree of understanding. So even the degree of the jnana, vipassanayana, even the first one, the world is not like the world you used to take for the world, because the world now, see, not only you, many people, many things in it. So it's not just the moment of only one object appear to be object of precise understanding of its characteristic, to see that, oh, it's real. What Buddha taught can be directly experienced. Otherwise, there is the idea of something when there are many rupas mixed, but only one characteristic, like sound, cannot be the whole world. Only in darkness, because sound is in darkness, and that which experiences is in darkness. So it's the world of nothing but that which experiences and that which can appear to that in darkness. The world that we used to live is completely lost. So we begin to understand what is meant by the world in the Buddha's teaching. Whatever arises there is a world. So there are many worlds, the six worlds, all the time. Appear as something, no understanding of each different ones. Like hardness is not what is seen, what is heard. So the world appear as just one world at a time. And by then there can be the understanding of the difference between the nama, the experiencing, that is not having any rupa in it at all, even one pure experiencing, no rupa in it. It's like when one closes one's eyes, no sound appear, but what is there? An experiencing.
Through the eye.
Close your eyes,
yes.
And sound does not appear, smell does not appear, no rupa appear, but what is there? See, as long as it's not pavangacitta, the experiencing is there. But since the appearance of the experiencing appear, the other object does not appear. No rupa can appear together. By then, no doubt about that characteristic which has no shape, form, no rupa, but it experiences.
Just getting back to nimitta, your question, are we wondering about nimitta as in the nimitta of a Dhamma, like the fire stick simile, or nimitta as in shape and form, nimitta anupanachya.
About the nimitta of realities, I think you've said before that even when in Satipatthana, at the level of Satipatthana, it's still an emitter of the reality that's actually known, not the direct reality.
It is direct, but together.
Together.
Because the arising and falling way of each one does not appear. So we cannot expect to think about the appearance of reality. How can it be such reality? Yeah. But there can be the development of understanding the difference between intellectual understanding and satipatthana at the beginning. Don't move on to higher panya, because even the moment satipatthana arises must be known by panya. Otherwise, one is lured by attachment and ignorance that it's satipatthana, what is not satipatthana. Because even such word like satipatthana follows, right? The reality which appears, it seems like it follows, but actually it at that very moment. So panya noted how close it is. No need to try to follow. It's there already. Before there can be the understanding of what Buddha said about satipatthana, the object appear well.
If it is, even at the beginning, you mean?
Not as vipassanayana yet, but one begins to understand that at this moment we talk about hardness, and there is the experience of hardness, and after that, no understanding. But at moment when hardness appear, at that moment, why hardness appear different from before? It sounds like no difference. But now hardness appear without awareness. So who knows? That characteristic of hardness which appears so very shortly, no attention to it at all, no awareness. So in a day, hardness appears through body sense all the time, from moment of waking up, touching this and that, but no understanding. So how can there be the characteristic of hardness appear as is hard, hardness, and then panya begins to develop that it's no one, nothing, turning towards understanding a little better of hardness as no one, nothing in it, little by little. So at that moment, no matter you call it satipatthana or not, close or not, but it experience that object after the body consciousness experience it. So it's like almost the same moment. Yeah. Because it's so close. Like now, when the hardness appears to body consciousness, and ignorance is there, attachment is there, asava is there, unknown, because it's not right understanding. But when it's right understanding, the characteristic of hardness appears better because of awareness, and begin to understanding it as only a world of hardness.
It's happening very fast because the realities arise and pass away so fast. It's not just one process we're talking about here. It must be many processes.
Many processes, and that is nimitta.
Okay, but even with understanding, it's not just one process of understanding.
Not one
it's
process.
Many processes
not
continually
one process.
For a certain.
Yeah.
So it's actually nimitta of the characteristic of reality.
That's why, as soon as whatever appears, it appears with its appearance as something. Because of the rapidity, like now, a bottle, as soon as they're seeing that.
And that's with ignorance. There's many processes that take this as a bottle, but even when there's satipatthana, even there's many processes, but with sati and panya.
Yeah. Begin to understand, but no count about how many processes at all. Impossible to be counted. Because at that moment of counting, it's not the understanding of that which appears. is change from that to thinking.
Sure.
So one can have confidence in Panya. It knows, it can experience, it can understand the truth. Otherwise, there wouldn't be Buddha.
But can understanding be developed without the developing of sati? So that's why many people develop sati and they think that is the way.
People develop sati?
They try to concentrate on
having a understanding about sati.
Well, I think sati is more important because they think sati will bring panya with it.
They think about sati.
But it's not sati.
Yeah.
It's not sati that they think that they are developing.
No awareness, but they think that it is awareness. Because of not careful study.
If there's no understanding developed, there can't be any development of awareness. The development of awareness has to have understanding. Otherwise, how can it be known what is awareness, what is not awareness? What is the characteristic of the object of awareness? So it needs understanding to develop.
Who understands or what understands sati as not self?
Panya.
So without panya, can there be the understanding whether it's sati or not sati?
Without panya cannot.
Mm-hmm.
But also without sati, understanding also cannot be developed.
Sati arises with all kusala moments.
Because understanding is developed. As you said many times that
okay.
At present moment...
Is sati different from panya?
Yes, it is.
Is sati panya?
No.
Can sati understand as panya understand?
No.
Can sati understand a little?
I think that is not function of sati.
So sati cannot understand. Even how much one thinks that one has sati, no understanding. How can there be the understanding of sati when there is no panya at all? For example, at moment of giving away things for the poor, for the need. Is there panya then or no panya? Only sati.
But because to realize anatta-ness is very difficult, that's why, and that I think that many people think that to realize anatta-ness is end of the path.
I think that it's useless to talk about the others.
That is the path, the way or the path to develop.
Without panya?
But because panya or understanding of the anatta-ness is too difficult, that's why it seems that develop the sati, then we gradually will bring to the understanding or
no.
The realize of the non-self.
No.
That's the wrong path. When one says anatta is too difficult, so we will bring the awareness to find it, that's the wrong path because it's beginning with wrong understanding, wrong awareness, wrong effort, wrong concentration, wrong everything. Because it's I trying to do.
How can anyone have sati at will, or try to have sati, or try to develop sati? Impossible.
Because with sati is developed, but perhaps with some extent of panya.
How can sati develop?
Sati is being developed, in the way you suggest, what kind of kusala are we talking about? Are we talking about bhavana? Are we talking about just dana or sila? What is the kind of kusala that you have in mind? If it's just sati.
Let's say in many moments, there can be the sati of what is experienced.
What kind of kusala would that be? In the way we've, so say, the 10 kinds of punyakirya vattu, or the different ways of classifying kusala. So it has to be actually bhavana. You said a characteristic of anatta is too difficult to begin with. And that's true, but panya of the kind of, we're taught satipatthana, has different levels too, as we've been talking about. Pariyati, paripati, pariveda, which I think you understand quite clearly. So it starts with an intellectual understanding of dhammas. There's panya there, and sati with it. So we don't have to say that panya is too advanced from the beginning, because it starts at beginning.
Panya at the level of understanding the anatta is too advanced.
Yes, that's why. But we don't have to talk about that. That is a high level of development of panya. But there's panya at lower levels of development, at the intellectual level. Understand about what is the object of satipatthana, for example, and about the different kinds of consciousness through the different doorways, and how the seeing consciousness is different from the object that is seen. And there can be a level of understanding of these things that is pariyati level of panya.
Yes. Ajahn always reminds us about that every moment, the other anatta is at every moment.
But, yeah. So, all dhammas are anatta.
So like now, what is seen, visible object, is there anything in it, or is it just visible object? Water bottle seen, or is it just that which is seen, that which is visible, that's seen?
Of course, because we have heard a lot, so of course we can easily say that only the seeing and visible object.
Is it true or not true?
I believe that is true.
This moment, or only thinking about it. Can this object be seen as no one in it at all? Or just think that this object is no one?
Because we have heard a lot, so it may become a new habit that whenever see or hear, then we're automatically...
How many times do you think about this object as that which is seen only? For today, how many times? Two times. See, it depends on the truth. Some might not think about this world object at all in a day, for many days, depending on conditions.
So you're saying that type of thinking is gradually building up, maybe.
It's conditioned. See, one can see that even such thinking is conditioned.
Yeah.
To get closer to understand the anatta-ness, that whatever appears is conditioned.
Getting closer to the truth about realities, so even if there's doubt in between, getting used to the idea that actually only visible objects seen, only hardness is touched now. So it's the beginning of understanding Dharma as anatta. the beginning of Pariyatti, but not firm enough. So that's why there's an idea of following some other practice or trying to be aware, because it's not firm, but it's just the beginning of considering Dhamma as anatta. And that is the understanding that will develop and grow. But as Robert just said, it's so little in a day. But hearing and considering more is the way that that understanding develops. And when that understanding develops, right awareness begins to develop, that is aware of the object. But without that understanding, right awareness can never develop.
And for now, is this land or is this whisper object? See, before there are conditions to really understand, at moment of seeing, that what is seen is just a reality, not land, not table, not thing at all, only that which is seen. Because Buddha used the word seeing sees visible object, that which can be seen. And we skip this word to something that we think that, oh, is so difficult, long, long story about that. But is it right understanding which begins to see, to understand at moment of seeing, little by little, by conditions? Close your eyes. See, that which is seen cannot be seen anymore. So we begin to understand that this does not appear when one is fast asleep. And when there is dreaming, it's only memory of that which is seen as someone, but not the understanding that what is seen is no one at all. And this is the development of sati, to be patthana at moment when it appears. Now visible object is appearing, but it's not the patthana object of right awareness yet, because it's the idea of someone all the time. But whenever it begins to be just that which is seen, it is patthana for right understanding and right awareness to develop. What is true and what is not true, that which is seen is seen.
Coming back, circling around back to my original question related to this about Pariyatti. So we're talking now about right view that knows there's just seeing and the visible object. There's no water bottle, for example. There's just the colour and there's just the scene. And that gradually, by understanding that, if it's right understanding, however intellectual, it builds up to become direct understanding one day, perhaps. What about other aspects of the Dharma, like conditions such as karma and so on? I mean, we can say, okay, karma as vipaka reveals itself by, now there is seeing is, for example, vipaka, it's the result of past karma. But if someone doesn't know that at all, they just...
At moment of knowing or understanding, it is delirious thinking.
Sorry, can you come back to this?
This morning someone might just talk or ask about karma,
yes,
without any understanding that it's not self. It's not citta either.
Right.
That is delirious thinking about karma.
Well, good. Come in.
But when there is some little understanding of it, at that moment of understanding, it's not delirious. Right understanding, or just understanding that what is karma?
Yeah.
It's in the day, there is intention, no matter we call it karma or not, but we don't know much about it. It's only I intend to do. But since there is no self, no one, there are only absolute realities. So intention is a reality. It's not citta, it's not sati, it's not passa. So this is the way to learn to understand anatta-ness of all realities, in order to have less attachment or clinging to that which appears in a day, from considering and understanding better and better that actually each word of the Buddha can be more meaning when it develops on and on. It's not only just listen and believe and try the other way to have it.
Going back to what Lan said too, bringing this all together, some people, like Lan said, it's very difficult, say, to have satipatthana. People realize this, so they think they better just practice a concentration on the present moment or something. They'll just focus on the present moment.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
That person listened to whom?
They could have listened to many technique type ideas.
So, not Buddha Saranagacchami?
Or they might have listened to you even, but they have an idea that...
So it's wrong understanding.
I just want to come around and bring it all together about how, say, the background...
The background is ignorance of whatever is now appearing.
Sure.
Citta cetasikas arising and falling away, so that everything is now appear as something because of the rapidity of the succession of the arising and falling away. And it conditions attachment when it becomes something, not only a reality arising and falling away by conditions, and it will add more than just being attached, wrong understanding of it as me or I, of something permanent.
So true. I mean, this rising and falling, some people might listen to you, but they have doubts about it, for example, because they can't experience it directly right now, or... they'd like to see, I mean...
No confidence.
On the truth. Right.
The truth is the truth. It's so very difficult that I try to make it easier.
Right.
But it's impossible. It's wrong understanding, wrong way. That's why there are three levels of studying pariyatti, Patipatti and Pativeda. It conform Satyayana, Kichayana, Katayana. Buddha helped us a lot to have no wrong understanding and wrong practice, because even he taught us about wrong practice too. Wrong Eightfold Path and right Eightfold Path. What for? For study carefully to know what's right and what's wrong. What is his teaching will lead to more understanding or no understanding when it's wrong teaching.
And just getting back to Lan's idea of Satipatthana being sati without panya. In the Satipatthana Sutta itself, it talks about the bhikkhu who has clear comprehension of walking and sitting and doing various things throughout the day, standing, sitting, lying, etc. So this clear comprehension is a reference to panya, of course. That's in the section on Gayanupassana. And in the section on Chittanupassana, for example, it talks about he knows citta with attachment, citta with lobha as citta with lobha. And he knows citta with aversion as citta with aversion. So again, knowing has to be a reference to panya. So the whole sutta is about panya. It's called Satipatthana. Oh, another point I want to make is the Buddha explained the Dhamma in many different ways. So sometimes he emphasized or gave explanation to one factor, like right effort. He's still Satipatthana, still development of panya, because effort of the Eightfold Path arises with the other factors. Or sometimes he spoke about right concentration of the Eightfold Path. But it also refers to the other factors as well, arising together. But it's just by way of explaining on different occasions the functions of the different factors. So in the Satipatthana Sutta, it's Samasati's turn to be the point that's being, or the aspect that's being explained.
What is the level of understanding then? Not yet at the level of understanding of anatta-ness.
Why not? Depending on the level of understanding of the individual.
It has to be the direct understanding of realities, of dharmas as dharmas. So it's the direct understanding of dharmas. So if it's an idea of I'm practicing or the dharma is a water bottle, it cannot be satipatthana. So it's even right, firm intellectual understanding, no hesitation about what is seen as just visible object. What is touched is hardness intellectually, and satipatthana is the more developed understanding that directly understand those realities.
When it talks about the bhikkhu having clear comprehension, it doesn't say what level. It's any level of panya that sees realities as they are.
Yes, any level, so it means that from the beginning it may not be with the understanding at the level of anatta-ness.
When you say understanding at the level of anatta-ness, panya doesn't see the anatta characteristic from the beginning, nor does it see the dukkha characteristic or the anicca characteristic. So these general characteristics become apparent as panya is developed, but in the beginning it just knows nama as nama, rupa as rupa, or visible object as visible object. That's the beginning level. It has to begin at the beginning level.
What is citta?
Reality which experience the
it
object.
Means that you understand anatta when you say it's a reality. If you don't understand that it's a reality, it's I. Citta is me. But when there is the understanding that citta is a reality, it means that it's not me, it's not mine, it's a reality. That's why each word of the Buddha must be studied very carefully. Otherwise, the self is trying to take it for my understanding of citta. But citta is moment of experiencing, is conditioned to see, to hear different moments, different conditions, different reality. So that cannot be anyone or anything. It's just that reality which has the characteristic of whenever it arises, it experiences. Nobody can stop it from experiencing whenever it arises. This is the understanding of anatta, anattaness, from the very beginning, which is intellectual. So when right understanding grows on and on, develops, it's not just hearing, understanding, believing, but more confidence in the truth of that which now experience as not self. Little by little. This is what is meant by pariyatti. It's not reading the word and can know what it translated as this or that, but it's the moment of what is this word. It's not only word, but it represents reality which can be proven, understood at any time. And this is pariyatti. Very well, skillful understanding what is read, what is considered. For example, if someone say, that which arises, that which experience, is that such reality, that which experience? If there's no thinking, no one knows that it's the moment of seeing. We don't talk about seeing, but we talk about that reality, that element which experiences whatever appears. Sound is heard by that which experiences it. So there must be a reality which experiences whatever appears. otherwise nothing can appear at all. Is that right? But no one knows about it, the reality which is now arising and experiencing. Before the Buddha's enlightenment, no attention to that which experiences. Even right now, no one heard about the teachings, no understanding of no one at all, only that which experiences different objects. So many, many times, like the turning around of the fire stick, what appears is a circle of light, but only one moment from moment to moment. Like now, what appears is only nimitta of the rapidity of the arising and falling away of whatever appears, no matter what is seen or what is heard, what is touched. Heart is here, not only a unit of a particle, only many. Rapidly, arising and falling away continuously, no one can understand the succession of the rapidity of the arising and falling away, because as soon as it is experienced, it experiences the nimitta, the appearance of something which is conditioned by the arising and falling away very rapidly. Who knows that? When it's true, the Buddha is the person who enlightened the truth, the absolute truth, never changed at all. And this is the understanding of anatta. Even you don't say that it is not self, it's not bottle, it's a reality, different reality. The word reality in itself implies the meaning of anatta, not under anyone's control, because there's no one.
Achan, I think that they may have the understanding that the citta is the thing which experience the object, but behind that they might have the idea of that the citta is just do the function while the citta is in the cell, or the citta has that thing has the connection with some other things
who
which bring
we?
Up the body.
And who is Buddha?
He said that is because I think that even when there is understanding that citta experience the object, but not yet at the level that the citta is non-self.
Then we discuss more about dharmas is so that there isn't the usual delirious thinking that Ajahn was talking about. Like she said, normally we talk about stories about karma and result, and it's just all delirious thinking because no understanding of dharmas. So the way for there to be less delirious thinking and more understanding of dharmas as anatta is to hear more about dharmas, so that all those perverted ideas about sati and the self, or sati developing without panya, all these things which are not the Buddha's teachings, can be let go of. So it comes back to understanding, like what is seen now, what is heard now, what is experiencing at this moment, what is this self that sati is in or something. So understanding that actually there are only six doorways. There's only seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching of their objects, and thinking about concepts, thinking about ideas about them. Where is this self that it's in? It's just an idea, a figment of the imagination, a figment of delirious thinking. So the reason for discussing dharmas is to understand that there are just dharmas, and that is how the understanding of anatta develops, by understanding dharmas as dharmas. Not me who can do anything at all. But the clinging is so strong to me following a practice and being able to do something, that because of that strong clinging, it's very difficult to hear about dharmas that are conditioned, because that idea is always in the back of the mind. But actually, there are only conditioned dharmas. no one who can do anything, no self that sati is in.
It seems like the self is thinking about citta, not understanding it, that actually it's no, there is no self. There are only realities.
I want to say about the four wrong view, which is that the cell has the consciousness, or the consciousness is in the cell, or the cell is itness, or what is the four things, the four wrong view.
What about one at a time? If there is no reality which experiences anything, can there be someone, or anyone, or anything?
They're all just ideas.
What is idea?
Because those four, that wrong view, that's why I think that even when understanding that citta is the thing which experiences the object, but still not yet at the level of understanding of anicca.
It's not seeing, right? Idea is not seeing.
Idea is not seeing.
Idea is not hearing.
No.
Idea is not smelling.
No.
Idea is not tasting.
No.
Idea is not touching.
No.
So what is idea?
Idea is a product of the mind, of the consciousness.
What do you mean by product?
The mind can think.
So it's not you who thinks? When it's not you who thinks, it is anatta, a reality, no self, no one in it. That's meaning of anatta. So can there be the truth without anatta?
To what I heard, the truth is...
It seems like there is self, so there is a truth. But actually, reality, the truth of reality, is anatta in itself. The truth itself is anatta. What is not true is the self. Because actually there's no self. But one believes that there is a self. But what is a self? If there is a self, what is a self? If you say there is no self, that's the meaning of anatta. So one learns to understand anatta little by little. It does mean that there cannot be the beginning of understanding anatta at all. As soon as there is the understanding of reality, that is the beginning of understanding the anattaness of any reality.
So back to what you said earlier about, like, now because we have heard a lot about what is seeing, what is visible object, then you can say that at the moment seeing sees visible object. But I think that if there's no careful consideration of what is meant by that, then it's just like Ajahn said, just delirious thinking on so. So it's, even if we answer the question properly, it's not really the understanding of anatta-ness. So it's, I think it's back to what Ajahn said, it's just understanding each word very carefully.
What about stories like the Jataka? How are they...
Jataka.
Jataka, yeah. Are they useful to To read and learn about?
Very much. To see the impermanence of each life. There is Robert only in this life. Next life, not Robert. Past life, not Robert. But there are realities. Continue on from moment to moment.
Okay, but we know that already. Why have a whole story about
past.
A Buddha's life?
Yeah.
Why do we need all the details of his past
to
life?
To understand that this is the way reality is, not permanent.
Does it also show karma and vipaka too?
No one can stop the arising of whatever is conditioned at all. This is samsara. Never get away from the cage of samsara, no matter in the realm of non-rupa Brahma, but it's still in samsara, keeping up and down, seeing, hearing, and then no seeing, no hearing, depending on conditions.
Rob, in the suttas we know the Buddha used conventional language to talk about dhammas. Can we say the Jatakas are also conventional language talking about absolute realities?
Yeah, I would say so. But why not just use, some people would prefer just to hear Abhidhamma, pure realities only. Why not? Why do we need the conventional words?
Because each Abhidhamma arises only once in samsara, never to arise again. But this moment of understanding is sankhara khanda, conditioned the next moment in this life or other life. It is now working its way wisely, unknowingly all the time. But the wrong understanding, taking that I do or I will, but actually without citta cetasikas, what is working, performing the function. No one can change its way.
Well, it's good to know it's sankhara khanda is working its way wisely.
Wisely or unwisely.
I see.
Not I who understand. Not I who do not understand.
But if we regard the Jatakas as stories about people and things, then possibly we're missing something.
The Jatakas, it's like with suttas, it depends how it's read, whether it's read about conditioned dhammas from now and in the past and in the future and conditioning each other life to life, or whether it's read about people and things doing this and that. And so without some understanding of dhammas or conditioned dhammas, there's bound to be the idea of people and things being born and carried on and kind of conventional ideas of karma and so on.
Why did Buddha teach Dhamma? Because it can be understood.
So it can be understood, and the wrong idea of self can be eradicated gradually. So that one can see that in life there are only dharmas, only realities arising and falling away, no matter one's reading Jataka or newspaper or here or there.
So if the Panya, at the moment of seeing, for example, that the Panya know that seeing is seeing, is it automatically apply when applied to the moment of hearing, for example? So the question is, if the Panya see that seeing is seeing only and no confusion, so if that moment of direct experience, is it would that automatically be applied for?
Can we say by conditions? not with our conditions, for anything to arise.
Nothing is automatic at all, because any Dhamma has to have conditions for arising. So just because there was Panya yesterday doesn't mean there has to be automatically Panya today. Each Dhamma has to have conditions, intricate conditions for its arising.
What you mean is that if there's Panya of seeing, then it at that same time it understands that it is the same for other doors, like others' hearings, smelling, right?
Yeah, no, I think I get the understanding of Sarah. Like, if that moment there's a condition for Panya for seeing, it doesn't mean that there can be, that could. If for an arahat or for a supatthana, Uttacitta would know the could understand that seeing is seeing all the time, or there would be moment of direct understanding, and then there would be a moment of not direct understanding.
You mean all the time? What do you mean by all the time? Each moment or what?
All the moment.
At moment of seeing, who knows that there are seven jitasikas only arising with citta which sees now? No understanding, no panya, no sati, no wholesome or unwholesome reality can arise with seeing consciousness. Because it's purely the result of vipaka. When it's time for a certain vipaka to condition seeing right now, it's that vipaka only which can condition seeing right now. And who knows what karma which conditions seeing right now. But as much as one can see is that when there is the understanding of seeing, how certain is that by conditions different from not understanding or understanding or thinking about it in different ways, which is not vipaka. So by understanding the actual moment of each citta, which arises rapidly as nimitta, one can learn to understand the difference between, no matter you call it vipaka or not, but it's different from moment of kusala and akusala citta. Like seeing right now, it's not kusala or akusala moment of thinking about that which is seen.
I think I'm wondering if your question is this, that when the person who is not yet a sotapanna obviously develops understanding, and then there is path consciousness, right? And thereafter, your question is, does this person suddenly have a lot more understanding, so that instead of the amount of understanding developed beforehand, is now, as it were, full understanding all the time? Is that your question?
It's an idea of continuous understanding. It's not like that at all, because it just depends on conditions. So even the sotapanna has lots and lots of attachment in a day, so cannot say that after every moment of seeing there's understanding, not like that at all.
Right, but the difference is from compared to before enlightenment, there's no more wrong view. So the wrong view has been eradicated completely. But that doesn't mean there's more moments with understanding necessarily than before.
It's only thinking about sotapanna.
Achan, I remember the chanting that sabbe sankhara anatta, sabbe dhamma anatta,
sabbe sankhara anicca. Sabbe sankhara dukkha.
Sabbe dhamma anatta. Something. Yadapanya pasati. And the last sentence is esamako visuddhiya. So my question is,
what does it mean?
It means that is a way to purification. Esamako visuddhiya. Sabbe sang sabbe anatta sabbe dhamma anatta. Yadapanya pasati. Is atani binati dukhe esamako visuddhiya.
What does it mean?
It means I don't remember the in between, but the last sentence.
The understanding,
Yeah, when once understanding the anatta needs, so that is a way to purification. Mm-hmm. So I would like to ask you why?
Because when, there's no wrong view. When there is wrong view, is it the pure? It's tainted by akusla. Not pure at all. Without wrong view, without akusla, then citta is pure.
Pure in view.
So it is not at the moment or after the moment of enlightenment, but that is the path. Once understanding about the one understand about the anattanis, then that is a way to develop or purify
wrong understanding completely. Never more understanding. Purify, it means that there is no condition for wrong understanding to arise anymore.
Means that
the development of understanding, the development of right understanding of realities that purifies, like now, beginning to become familiar, beginning to understand that only visible objects seen and no self anywhere, inside, outside, or anywhere else, beginning to understand rightly about Dhamma now is the beginning of purification. There cannot be any visuddhi without right panya, without right understanding of realities. So as right understanding develops, gradually it purifies.
Also that the same with sabbe sankhara anicca or sabbe sankhara dukkha, and the end of that is have three passage, do you know? It have four sentences. Sabbe sankhara anicchati yadapanya pasati esamako visuddhiya, and the second is sabbe dhamma sabbe sankhara dukkhati, and the last passage start with sabbe dhamma anattati, and the end is only always esamako visuddhiya. So
because by understanding dhammas as dhammas, they are understood as anatta, and as the understanding develops more and more and begins to directly understand the realities, eventually there is the understanding of the impermanence of those dhammas and thereby the unsatisfactoriness of those dhammas, not worth clinging to. So it all comes back to the understanding of dhammas as dhammas. No purification, no understanding of anicca, dukkha, or anything else without understanding of realities at this moment. That's what is meant by development of visuddhi, purification.
It means that when there is understanding of the reality as dukkha or anicca or anatta at every moment, then
at any
forget about it. Every or any moment, just begin to understand and become more familiar with reality as reality. Because if there isn't the firm intellectual understanding of realities, there cannot be the direct understanding, let alone much higher levels of understanding arising and falling away of those dhammas. So just become more familiar with what is real at this moment. Those dhammas which experience an object and those dhammas which cannot experience anything, in order to really detach from the idea of self. This is the beginning. You're welcome. My pleasure.
Best wishes to Junko. And the next member of your family.
And good memory of Dhamma.